Where can we go? I want you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 22, if you would, please. I kind of had it in my mind. I started this in Sunday school, and what I thought I would do is, in preparation for our conference that we're going to have. Our conference is not a prophecy conference. It is a Bible conference. It is centered upon the issue of the Bible, the Word of God, and the attack that is on the Word of God, which is one of the reasons why I have Brother Chris Pinto coming. He has done some outstanding research on what underlies the differences between the King James and, let's say, the NIV or the New American Standard and so on, or even the New King James for that matter. And when I heard him speak on these issues at Fargo last year, I was very impressed. And he gave me copies of the videos that he had on this matter, and I've watched them. And I tell you what, it's just fantastic information, and I'm excited about him coming. He's going to be speaking Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and he is going to be with me on Pastor Mike Online Thursday. And I've spent a lot of time this afternoon when I do PMO, it's usually just me. So I got one microphone and one camera. So I spent a lot of time this afternoon getting it set up to where I can have two cameras and two microphones. That way I'm not hogging it all. Okay? And so anyway, I really am looking forward to that. But Sunday morning for Sunday school, I just kind of started in on the history of the Bible that you hold in your hand. How did we get that Bible? And so if you were here in Sunday school, or if you were watching online, or if you've watched the sermons that have been uploaded, sermon audio, into my YouTube channel on this, I'm not going to rehash what I talk about in Sunday school. I'm going to move forward from that. But over and over and over in the Bible, God always told His men, take these words and write them. Take note of them in a table. Write them in a book. Over and over, He said, write them in a book. He said, write it in a book that it may be for a time to come, a memorial for time to come. And God's idea is that the words that He was giving to the prophets, to the men who are the authors of our Bible, the words that He was giving them, God intended from that, He intended from before that time, but certainly He intended that time that the words that He was giving were not just going to be the words spoken by those men, but those words were going to be written down, and they were written down for a reason. Is that they were going? God's intention was to preserve those words that those men wrote down. I'm going to say this: it is ridiculous to think that the only people to ever hear the pure, incorrupt, undefiled Word of God was the people who heard it in the days of Jeremiah or in the days of Paul. It's ridiculous to think that. And yet that is what most of Christianity adheres to. They adhere to this idea that the Bible, the perfect Bible, only exists in the original manuscripts, and what you and I have today amount to the table scraps that Lazarus fed off of from the rich man's table. It's ridiculous to think that we do not have and cannot have a pure Word of God in these days. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. So in Revelation chapter 22, I want you to look at what was said here. In verse 18, the very end of the book, verse 18, the last words that are in your Bible are this: for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. Think Joseph Smith. Think Pope Francis. Think any of these latter-day quote-unquote prophets who are telling everybody, oh, I'm getting words from God. Oh, I'm a prophet of God. Believe it or not, there are churches who have what they refer to as a house prophet. What that means is there'll be a man, or in some cases, a woman, who they say has been called by God to be the recipient of words coming directly to them from God, And that if even the pastor does not have the authority in that church that that house prophet has. And the pastor could be up there preaching, and the house prophet would say, listen, I'm getting a revelation from God here. God is telling me that this and this and this and this and this. And the idea is that everybody, including that pastor, has to knuckle under what that guy said, or what that woman just said. That is a Jezebel spirit, if I've ever seen one. You do not... this is at the end of your Bible. Which means that after this, and John wrote the book of Revelation, somewhere around AD 94, 95, 96, somewhere around in there, all of the other apostles had died. John was the only one left living. And God waited until they were all dead, so that no more writings from them could be out there. John was the last one alive, and the very last thing told to us by God through Jesus Christ to one of the apostles was, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to tell everybody online, and I'll say this until with my dying breath. Do not believe latter-day prophets. Because you know what the deception is they're going to bring in? Jesus said, lo, if any man say, here is Christ or there, believe it not. Amen. These last day, quote-unquote, revelations that are going to come to these guys are meant to deceive and lead people away from the Word of God, the written Word of God, what's in your Bible. They're going to say that other things have been added to the book of Revelation since that time. That's a lie. How do I know it's a lie? Well, it says so right here. If any man shall add unto these things. Then verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come Lord Jesus. Jesus, at that point, when John wrote this down, at that point, Jesus said, I testify to these things. I give my approval to them. I'm signing my name to it. If any man comes after the book of Revelation and wants to add to the Word of God, I'm going to add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man will take away from these words, I'm going to take his name out of the book of life. Now consider this. The NIV Bible has 64,000 less words than the King James Bible. The men that compiled that Bible are guilty of taking away 64,000, not just one word, 64,000 of them. They're guilty of taking away. The promise of this book says that God shall take away His part out of the book of life. It's that serious. So this is why, in that advertisement, I put in there, can you find these verses in your Bible? Hoping that people all over Jefferson County would reach for their Bible, whichever one it was, and go looking for those verses. And if they found them missing out of the Bible, that they were told, oh, it's okay, these Bibles are good. If they were told that, if they found those verses missing, maybe they'll start asking some questions that some pastors don't want asked. Because I can tell you, and people online, they send me this stuff all the time. They said when God started showing them the difference, when they approached their pastor about this issue, boom! They found out very quickly that because they even asked questions, they were on their way out the door of that church. They're either going to leave willingly because they could not listen to the man lie about the Word of God, or they were put out because they didn't want to deal with this issue of the King James or the other translations of the Bible. Okay? So anyway, that's kind of the heading of the message tonight. Let's get into the transmission now of how we got our Bible. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The purpose for God giving you not just felt words or perceived words into your heart from heaven, He's giving you the written Word of God, the testimony written down. He's given you a book to read. Because as is the case, who in here has ever doubted their salvation? Raise your hand. I have. And you know what I do when I doubt my salvation? Get my Bible out and start reading it. Because the things that are written in my Bible are there so that I may know that I have eternal life. When the devil tries to tell you over here, you've seen Tom and Jerry, haven't you? Tom the cat always had the devil cat on this side and the angel cat on the other, telling him what to do. And the devil, Tom, is always telling you, Mike, you're not going to make it. You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to fail. You're going to blow it. God won't accept you. And then there's the Word of God saying, Mike, see how it's written down? See, you're going to know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And my encouragement / warning to anybody is, don't mess with the words that are in the Bible, because somebody may need the very word that you took out as evidence for their salvation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 11, Jesus saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. What thou seest, write in a book. Write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. All right? So he's commanded to write it out in a book. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm moving through verses very quickly. And if you want to try to keep up by turning in there your Bible, you may, but I'm not going to wait tonight on everybody to flip through the Bible, all right? If you want to make some notes on this, that's fine. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. I'll get to that maybe later. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The accusation against the Bible by lost people is, well, I don't. What was that guy telling you, Matthew? The Bible was written by who? Man. He got into a conversation with a man that was what was his religious background? Roman Catholic. And he was telling Matthew, the Bible, that was written by men. That's why our church doesn't put any confidence in it. Now that's funny, because while they don't trust the Bible saying it's written by man, they trust the Pope, who they say, well, he's God on earth, and whatever he says, that's what goes. I don't get that. Here you got 40 men writing the words that God gave them, and they're all wrong, and the Pope's right on everything he says. That's like the Mormon Church, their official statement is, we believe the King James Version of the Bible so long as it was translated right, which is funny. Because here you have 54 men working in a peer-reviewed fashion for 7 years, purifying the Word of God, overlooking one another's work to make sure that everything was translated correctly. And then you have Joseph looking at golden plates with figures on there that no one had ever seen before, that he did not know what they were, but he put on a special of magic hocus pocus glasses, 3D glasses or whatever it was, looking at this, translating them by himself, translating the Book of Mormon, and they said, it's translated perfectly. One man with golden plates that no one has ever seen, with letters that no one has ever known before, this man translated it perfectly. 54 men, 7 years, working with one another to translate the King James Bible, and according to the Mormon Church, these guys got it wrong. I don't buy it. Amen? I don't buy it. Holy men of God. Here it is, right here. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means and applies to the very words that were put down in your Bible. A lot of the men who translated the NIV had this idea that the Bible was the thoughts of God, but not the words of God. They would say that the Bible contains the Word of God, but is not the Word of God. Okay? That's a lie. These are the men that translated the book. All right, now watch this. Once the originals were written, Jeremiah writing out on his papyrus or whatever he wrote, Paul dictating to whoever it was at the time, writing those things down, Peter writing his words, John writing the book of Revelation. Once the originals were written, copies were made and distributed. Copies of the Greek New Testament works being copied by hand by faithful men who believed that what they were copying was the Word of God. Knowing. You see, even in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, there was a law matching what you see in Revelation 22, where God told Moses, Moses tell the people, if any man adds to the words of this law, I'm going to get him. And if any man diminish aught from these words, from this book, I'm going to get him as well. There was even in the Old Testament that you don't add to or take away from the Word of God. So these men who were writing out these copies of these Greek manuscripts of the New Testament had it in their mind that they were not allowed to add any words and they were not allowed to take away any words. They held it as the sacred, holy Word of God. And to take away or add anything to it would have marked their doom. They would have been damned for that. You have Ezra in the Old Testament as an example of a scribe. The Bible calls him a ready scribe, which means that he faithfully copied all of the books that he was given as a scribe. And you have to understand, here we're living in a day where there's not typewriters, there's not copy machines. We don't... I love my technology. Somebody hands me a piece of paper, I get my phone or my tablet out, and I go... I scan it and keep it that way because I lose paper very easily. They don't have that back then. They're handwriting letter by letter these Old Testament documents and these New Testament documents. In the New Testament times, faithful followers and believers transmitted, copied, and distributed the text to the churches. Here you have evidence of that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul said, when this epistle is read among you, the church at Colossians. When this epistle is read among you, cause it that it be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So what has to happen? Somebody in the Colossian church has to write out an exact copy of Paul's letter to that church, has to write out a copy and send it by messenger to the church at Laodicea. The church of Laodicea then likewise, upon reading that, has to make a copy of the letter that Paul sent them and then send that back to the Colossian church. So now you have both churches having copies of the Word of God. In fact, let me show you something. Turn to First Timothy? You're saying, don't ask me, Pastor. I have no idea what's in your mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to show you something. Let me ask you a question. Okay? Do you believe that the Word of God, the pure Word of God, can be found in the copies of the original manuscripts? In other words, you don't just believe that only the originals were the Word of God, the pure Word of God. The copies had errors in it. Let me show you in your Bible that the Apostle Paul said that even copies of the originals were Holy Scripture. Look at your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Well, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scriptures. Did Timothy have the original copy of what Jeremiah and Moses wrote? He had copies of the Holy Scriptures. And Paul told Timothy that they were holy, meaning They were pure. They were undefiled. They were not corrupted. From a child, Timothy knew that what he had was the Word of God. Amen? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I mentioned during our prayer time, this is the attack. We as a church, and you can say, well, Pastor, it was kind of your idea. It was. Granted, it was. And I, bye, guys. And I'm dragging you into it. But I felt like that we needed, if this church, with all of its ministry capability that we have, why aren't we having a Bible conference here? Because I don't know of any other church that's having one. Why don't we do that? So I prayed about it. I felt like it was the right thing to do, and everything just kind of fell in place. And lo and behold, here we are. And what we're going to do is we're going to say the Bible is right on everything, and all these other translations are wrong. And here's what the Bible says to believe about the Bible. Okay? One of Lisa's favorite presentations that I do is I show the verses that are missing out of all the other translations. And I told her, I said, sweetie pie, I'm updating that presentation. I put it on steroids. Man, I've got way more than I've ever had, than I've ever compiled before. And I, myself, in putting this information together, I'm just going, you mean they took that out? You mean they changed that? No way. I found out something about the word hell that's going to blow your mind. From these new translations. Okay? The new translations. It is no wonder that most of American church people no longer believe in hell the way our forefathers believed in it. And I think it's because of these new Bibles. And I'm not going to show it to you tonight, but I'm going to show it to you next week. But we are taking a stand on this issue. To me, it is the most important issue facing the churches today. Amen. And in dealing with this, we are dealing with what Paul told Timothy here. These scriptures are able to make people wise unto salvation. You know what that means? That if people do not have the scriptures, they will never know how to be saved. And what happens then, Satan's apostles are going to present a false gospel to people, and people are going to believe it. Already are. And why are they believing it? It's because they've been inoculated against the perfect Word of God, which makes people wise to salvation. When I got saved at 9 years old, the verses that were read to me were out of a King James Bible. Who in here, that's how it was with you? Okay? And I'm just telling you, this book is able to make you wise unto salvation. And when we take a stand on this book, the devil is going to try. If he can stop us, he will. If he can't stop us, he'll try to punish us for what we did. And let me tell you something. Christians will be persecuted. Mark it down. It's the life that we signed on to. It's what you agreed to. Okay? And the issue, one of the biggest issues, again, I've seen it before, that one of the biggest issues to tackle in the devil's realm is his stronghold in the area of the Word of God. Okay? Most dangerous thing that we can do is do that. All right? So now, these were all copied into the thousands of times and spread all over the Middle East, all over what they refer to as Eastern Asia, Asia Minor, all throughout the Roman Empire. These were copied and scattered all around. They believed them to be the early church people believed them to be the very words of God, and they were sacred to them. God finished the words and said that everything that we need concerning our faith and our lives are written in the Scriptures. Let's see here. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is the follow-up then to what he's saying. Now, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Verse 16, all Scripture. How much Scripture? All Scripture. And I want to tell you this. You may have a King James Bible. Be careful even of a Bible that has man's notes in it. I've got a Bible. In fact, it's upstairs. I could show it to you if I run it up there and got it. And I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like running tonight. It's a King James Bible. It's a great Bible. But it's got, under verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's got a little note in the margin that says, and it says RV, which I think stands for recreational vehicle, or no, it stands for revised version. Revised version, they're telling you the revised version says every inspired Scripture. Which leads you to believe that some of the Bible is inspired, but not all of it. Every inspired Scripture has its use. That is in stark contrast to all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, okay, is given. You know what that is? Present tense, right now. God's not given us new Scripture. But the breath of the Holy Spirit is breathing into you when you read this old Bible. Amen. God is inspiring you and giving you biblical wisdom and knowledge as you read its words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is, right now, present tense, profitable for number one, doctrine. Doctrine. For reproof. For correction, which means if I'm wrong, the Word of God corrects me. If you're wrong, the Word of God corrects you. For instruction in righteousness, because you and I are wise unto sin, we know how to sin. We need instruction on how to live right. And the Bible has, and I want to tell you something, there is not an area of our lives that is not covered somewhere in the Bible instructing us on how to live our life. Men, it'll teach us how to be men. It'll teach us how to be proper husbands. Don't you dare follow the world's paradigm of macho husband guy. Follow the Bible. Amen? Ladies, the Bible will teach you how to be ladies. It'll teach you how to have a chaste conversation. It'll teach you how to be, what was the word I was thinking of? Can't remember it. Anyway, the Bible will teach you how to be a proper lady. Don't follow the world's version of that. Don't follow that. Follow God's version of it. Children. It'll teach you how to be proper children in your home. Even if your mom and dad's lost, even if your mom and dad's wrong, it'll teach you how to live in their house under their authority. This Bible has the answer for every issue of life. Amen? Amen? This is why the devil hates it as much as he does. And the removal of the Word of God in our country has brought devastating effects. This morning I heard on the news that in St. Louis, there's a homicide every other day is how it averages out so far this year. Somebody being murdered in cold blood in St. Louis, the average is every other day. Why? No Bible. No way of life in there. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto how many good works? All good works. Anybody tells you, well, not everything that God does is in the Bible, they're lying through their teeth. And what they're doing is they're trying to set up this idea that God is doing this even though you can't find it in the Bible. And I've had people tell me that. Well, of course they're going to tell me that because what they're doing is unbiblical. Throng, amen. Revelation 22, I've already read that, so I want to move on. Great care was thus taken to ensure that what was being copied was done so accurately, because these men that handled these copies knew that both from the Old Testament and from John's Revelation, that if they were to add to it or take away one word, they would be in danger. So they were careful. The more they were distributed, the more they were used. The more they were used, the more the pages began to fall into poor condition. Here's an example of that. A Bible, what is that saying? A Bible that's... A Bible that's talking about a worn out Bible belongs to somebody that isn't? Something like that, amen? That means if you got a Bible where it's got coffee stains, tear stains, usage, fingerprints all in it and everything like that, that belongs to somebody that's been in that Bible. Okay? That person's life, even though their Bible may look like this, their life doesn't. Okay? Most of the originals and the copies were written on papyrus or vellum. Papyrus is where we get the word paper. It's a form of grass. Vellum is from animal skins, animal hides, flesh. God said that in spite of this, in spite of it being written on this and turning out looking like this, God said that in spite of that, He would always preserve His Word. God never said that He would preserve the original manuscripts. And obviously He hasn't, because they don't exist. We don't have a single original manuscript of any of the Bible. Anyway, isn't that something? You would think that maybe a part of one would be in a museum somewhere. But so far, no one has ever been... You know what I think? I think God made sure that none of them survived. Why? Isaiah chapter 40, turn there. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? He said, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Take a look at this. The grass withered. Papyrus, written on grass, withered. Notice that he said, all flesh is grass. So, doesn't matter if it was written on vellum, which is flesh, or papyrus, which is grass. They're both the same. They both wither away. The people is grass. We grow up, we die out, we fade away, and then we're gone. But isn't it something? Adam has been dead now almost 6,000 years. But isn't it interesting that he still lives in 7 billion people on this planet? Adam's DNA is still there. Think about that. The DNA of Adam has been preserved through every generation on down to now. Was there about 7 billion people on the planet right now? All the sons and the offspring of Adam. So he said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So can you expect the Word of God to survive past the original manuscripts? To survive past the tattered and torn and used and wore out copies that were made? Can we expect from our Bible that we would still have the incorruptible Word of God? Answer is yes. Okay? Even Peter said it. And I want to stop here. 1 Peter chapter 1, turn there very quickly. Again, it all comes around to the gospel of salvation. And the idea is, if the Word of God can be corrupted so that the gospel is not known or cannot be known, then everybody will perish. And no one can be saved. No one. That's the issue that we're dealing with. When we talk about the Bible issue, you know how some people say, well, it's not a salvation issue. This is. Because if people cannot be saved without the Word of God, if there is no Word of God, they cannot be saved. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter quotes Isaiah 40. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Again, no incorruptible seed, then people cannot be born again of that incorruptible seed. In fact, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse, was it 23? 1 Peter 1, 23, which says, I already know what it says, but anyway, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And in that same context, he's talking about now how all the old manuscripts have faded away, and yet the Word of God still stands. Still is right to this very day. I cannot believe that any part of my Bible can contain an error in it. Every Word of God is intact. Now I'll go ahead and share this and we'll dismiss. 54 times, you do your own study. Write this, if you have internet access, go to blueletterbible.org. This will be a way that you can search the NIV without having to go every place in your Bible. The word hell in the King James is in there 54 times in the King James Bible. Okay? Follow those verses. Use the Pure Bible Search software and follow those verses and look at those verses in the NIV. Go to blueletterbible.org and look at those verses where the word hell is and look at the NIV in those same verses. I have a list of, I don't remember how many of them there were, but it just fills a whole slide, and I had to make the type real small, of how the NIV took the word hell out, replaced it with things like the dead, the grave, or the realm of the dead. You know, in most men's minds, the realm of the dead is? This is the cemetery up here where everybody's casket is. Is that hell? Hell is that the realm of the dead is where their body is going to lay until God burns this world up. Hell is where their soul is going to go to, and they're going to be awake and conscious, and they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth because of the torment that they are in. And I'm going to show you, you look up the number of times where the NIV took out the word hell and replaced it with something that points you to the grave, the casket, the cemetery, or whatever. The New King James Version does that. A total of 22 out of 54 occurrences of the word hell. The New King James Version replaces the word hell with either Sheol, how ignorant can you be? And just to show you how ignorant you are, I'm going to have Chris stand up and tell us what Sheol is. It's the Hebrew word for hell, but they took it out. And see, you didn't know what it was, did you? So here, let's say that you had a New King James. And you'd heard preaching on hell as a child. You come back to the Lord and you got a New King James. And now you're looking up hell in the New King James. You're not finding it in there. You're finding the word Sheol and you're going, I have no idea what that is. Or in the New Testament, they put in Hades, but not hell. The lost man in this country, even the worst of lost people in this country, they know what hell is. But they have no idea what Hades and Sheol is. And I'm going to tell you something, you can't get them saved until you warn them about hell. And if they become convinced in their false Bibles that hell is nothing more than the casket, they're not going to be afraid of dying. Okay? We're talking about the seriousness of salvation and men's souls when we're dealing with the Word of God. That's how important this is. This is how big the fight is. And just remember, this week, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness want to keep men in darkness and not show them the light of the Word of God and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're wrestling. We're not fighting each other, people. We're fighting the devils who want to destroy us for what we're doing. Stand strong. Stand now. And stand strong. And study Genesis 3 and understand that the very way that the devil deceived Eve is the same way he's deceiving the churches right now. Destroy the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this church. I thank You, Father, that when it comes to this Bible, I'm not fighting people in my church over it. I thank You, God, for what You've done in our hearts. Those, Lord, that are watching online, Father, You've convinced us. You've shown it to us. You've turned the light on. We believe it. And Father, we're hated. We're persecuted. We're mocked. We're laughed at. We're cast out, not wanted, because we believe what the book says. And we're not changing our mind. We're not giving up either. In fact, God, not only, Lord, are we not going to fall away on this, not only are we going to stand, we're going to put this in high gear, God, and just move forward, pressing toward the mark. Father, I pray, dear God, that You would help us in our church to continue to stand strong and to walk circumspectly and understand and know, Lord, that the lions can be very well hidden until they're ready to spring. So, Father, I pray, dear God, that You would give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Help us, dear God, with discernment, of knowing that one way or the other, the devil is going to try to stop this. And if he can't stop it, then he is going to persecute us for doing this. So, Father, we just ask God for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, even those that are online, Lord, who are standing with us. Lord, watch over them too, because they are just as much at risk as any one of us. They are partakers with us, Lord, in the conflict that we may face. So, Father, we ask for Your grace and for Your mercy and for Your help. And, Father, Lord, if the devil leads us off in sin, have mercy on us and forgive us, Father, and help us to stand by Your grace. And Father, don't let the devil get any of us, cheat any of us, lie or deceive any one of us. Help us to stand strong. Help us to love one another. And help us to love that old book at all cost. Thank You, Father, Lord, for this church and for what You've done in us. And help us, Father, to continue to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all the God's people said, Amen. Amen. Hug somebody. Tell them you love them before you leave out here tonight. That would be a good way to...